بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. ٹوڈے آئی وانٹ ٹو سے اے فیو ورڈز اباؤٹ حج. You know, according to hadith, there are five pillars of Islam. Hajj is one of these five pillars. Hajj literally means to undertake a journey. In Islamic Sharia, Hajj means traveling to Makkah in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. You know, Hajj is an annual worship. In the month of Dhul-Hijjah, so believers from every part of the world travel to reach Makkah and perform Hajj. In this sense, it is a pilgrimage of travel. Now, now there are two different aspects of Hajj. One is called Masail Hajj, and the second is called Haqiqat, that is Haqiqat Hajj. So as far as the Masail is concerned, people generally know about Masails. Masails are well known. So now I would like to say something about the Haqiqat of Hajj, that is meaning of Hajj or wisdom of Hajj. Now there are different aspect of Hajj. First of all is traveling. In Hajj, everyone must travel. You cannot perform Hajj at your hometown. You have to travel to reach Makkah. Traveling is also a worship. You know, there is a verse in the Quran in which Mumin and Muminat both are defined in these words: As-Sayahoon was-Sayahat. It means that those who travel. Then there is a hadith. No, there is a verse in the Quran that Qul siru fil ard. See the earth, see the events of earth. So, why it is so important? Because travel is a source of experience. Travel means going out of your familiar place. It means moving from familiar place to unfamiliar place. This is travel. So it is very important, because when you are in your familiar place, so you are used to for everything. You become habitual. But when you move from familiar place to unfamiliar place, then you experience of new things, new experiences, new inspirations, new lesson, new observations, new contact. So when you are in travel, you are experiencing a new life. So if you are a believer, if you are and if you have awakened mind, if your spirituality is alive, then you can take lesson every moment, every day and night. Because living in an unfamiliar place itself invoke your personal, your spirituality. When you are in an unfamiliar place, you are invoked by the environment every time. So you receive new kind of experiences, new kind of inspirations. So this is the first benefit of Hajj. Then, after a long travel, you reach to the Miqat. Miqat means that place where you are required to wear ihram. Ihram means untailored cloth, basically two pieces like sheet, both white. So when you reach Miqat, you take this kind of dress. Ihram was the dress of Prophet Ibrahim, and it is a symbol of simple culture, simplicity. Ihram is a symbol of simplicity, simple living. It's not a ritual. Ihram is not a ritual. Ihram is a symbol of culture of simplicity. So here you decide that from this day I will adopt the culture of simplicity. So it is very important. You know, there is a hadith. Once the Prophet of Islam was asked, what are these sacrifices in Hajj? Ma hazil azahi ya Rasulullah. Prophet of Islam replied, Sunnata abikum Ibrahim. The tradition of your father Ibrahim. So the whole active, the Hajj is a kind of rehearsal of Prophet Ibrahim's life. Prophet Ibrahim was a great prophet. His life was very an eventful life. He organized the work on international level. So when a believer performs Hajj, he repeats all those happenings which was experienced by Prophet Ibrahim. So all those rituals of Hajj are rehearsal of Prophet Ibrahim. So ihram is also the dress of Prophet Ibrahim. So when you take this dress, you take a pledge that I will adopt that kind of simple life which was adopted by Prophet Ibrahim. This is the lesson of ihram. So when you reach Makkah, you know, in Makkah there is the oldest mosque, that is Baitullah or Kaaba. So when you reach Makkah, that is your destination in Hajj. So when you reach Makkah, first of all, you make wudu, and then you do tawaf. Tawaf means encircling around the Kaaba. Kaaba, present Kaaba is a square building. The Kaaba was built by Abraham and his son Ismail. So when you reach Makkah, first of all you do tawaf, that is going around the Kaaba 7 times. What is this? You say labbaik allahumma labbaik. Oh God, I am here. Oh God, I am here. This is the response of Haji. And when he goes around the Kaaba, he decides that my life will be, the center of my life will be God Almighty. I will adopt God-centered life. So this is the meaning of tawaf. Tawaf is a pledge. Tawaf is a determination. By doing tawaf, you decide that God is the center of my life. I will adopt that form of life which was adopted by Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail and his wife Hajra. So this is a pledge. Tawaf is not simply a ritual. Tawaf Kaaba is not simply a ritual. No. It is a reality. It is a pledge. It is to decide about your life pattern. By doing tawaf, you remember the Prophet of Islam. You remember the Prophet Ibrahim. And then you decide that I will adopt that kind of lifestyle that was adopted by Prophet Ibrahim. And that was God-centered life. God-centered life. This is the Tawaf Kaaba. Then after Tawaf, you visit Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa are two rocks. The distance between the two rocks is near about 7 furlong. Both are very dear from Kaaba. Both are small rocks. So the distance between the two rocks is near about 7 furlong. So every Haji walks between the two, between the Safa and Marwa, 7 times. Every Haji walks between Safa and Marwa 7 times. Now what is this walk? It is again a symbolic pledge. By doing this, you take pledge. You decide that you decide about your activities by walking between Safa and Marwa. You decide that my activities will be for the sake of God. All my activities will be in the path of God, for the sake of God. In other words, for Dawa work. The greatest mission adopted by Prophet Ibrahim was Dawa mission. So when you walk between Safa and Marwa, you decide that I will dedicate my life in that kind of mission which was adopted by Prophet Ibrahim. Because all these things are Share Ibrahim. Everything you do during the hour, no, everything you do during Hajj is Share Ibrahim. It means that all these things are repetition of the lifestyle of Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim does tawaf, so you are doing tawaf. Prophet Ibrahim and Hajra did sa'y between Safa and Marwa. So you are doing sa'y between Safa and Marwa. So all these things are shiar of Ibrahim and Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ismail, and also Hajra, the pious lady who was wife of the Prophet Ibrahim. So, Kaaba, Tawafi Kaaba, and Sa'i Bana Safa Wal Marwa, both are symbolic pledge that you will adopt the same pattern for your life that was adopted by Abraham family, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Ismail, Hazrat Hajra. They dedicated their life for the sake of God. So you are saying also that I will dedicate my life for the sake of God. Their life was God-centered life. So you are deciding that your life will be God-centered life. Here you drink Zamzam. Zamzam is Zamzam has a very unique history. You know, the Prophet Ibrahim settled his family here before 4,000 years ago. He settled his family here 4,000 years ago. At that time, here was nothing, only desert, no water, no greenery, no agriculture, no horticulture. So it was a waterless place at that time. But Prophet Ibrahim settled his wife Hajra and his son Ismail at this place. And he make dua. So God accepted his dua, and miraculously there was a stream, that is Zamzam. Zamzam was a miraculous stream. So when you drink Zamzam, you take the water of Zamzam, you remind all those history. You do dua that, O God, I am also in need of your blessing, in need of your grace. Please grace me all those blessings. I am also waiting for your grace, for your blessings. So when you take Zamzam, you do this dua. So Zamzam becomes a point of reference for a unique type of dua. Zamzam, the history of Zamzam, the history of Zamzam becomes a point of reference for you to make a very unique type of dua, that, O God, bless me with the same grace again which you have blessed you for Prophet Ibrahim, Ismail and Hajra. There's a unique experience. So when you perform prayer, when you perform Salat in Haram, in Masjid Haram, there is Baitullah, it also gives you great experience. When you perform Salat in Masjid Haram, around Kaaba, you feel that this is the place where Prophet Ibrahim performed his Salat, where Prophet Ismail performed his Salat, where the past Lady Hajra performed his Salat, then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his Salat here, and all the companions of the companion performed their Salat here in this Masjid, by the Haram. So when you recall all these historical events, when you remember all this history, you find a very unique type of inspiration. This history is unique. There is a verse in the Quran for Haji, لَيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. It means that so that they witness the benefits for them. So when believers travel from their home place and they visit Kaaba and Baitullah, they see all those benefits. Manafa or benefits means historical monument, historical references. This area, Makkah and the adjacent area, is a very important historical place. Beginning from Hajra and Ismail and Ibrahim, up to the companions and the companions of the companions and four caliphs, there are a long history. There is a long history. Every part of this place reminds you some kind of history, some very important part of history. So this place, Makkah and its adjacent area, is a historical place. Here you remind the history of prophets. Here you remind the history of pious people. Here you remind the history of companions. Here you remind the history of companions of the companions. Here you remind the history of Khalifa Abu Bakr, Khalifa Umar, Khalifa Osman, Khalifa Ali. So this place is not simply a place, a part of the earth. It is a history, a precious history. History of prophets, history of truth, is a divine history. You may call it divine history. So when you find yourself in this place, you recall all those events of history. And you become thrilled. You receive inspirations. It is a spiritual experience, high kind of spiritual experience. Living in this area, living in this area gives you a high kind of spiritual experience, a high kind of intellectual awakening, a high kind of intellectual development, a high kind of divine inspirations. All these things are related to the history. So it's very important. Then there are several other rituals. For example, you do rami means there are three symbolic Satan. The three pillars that symbolize three Satans. So you do Rami. Rami means stoning, is symbolic stoning. So you do stoning here. Rami means stoning. Although it is symbolic stoning, but it is very important. By doing this stoning, you remember that verse of the Quran. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwun mubeen. It means that Satan is your open enemy. When God creator Adam, and when God settled Adam and his wife and his children on this earth, at that time God said, Inna shaitana lakum adu mubin. You have to save yourself from Satan. Satan is your open enemy. Here is a comparison. In the Quran, there is a verse in the Quran that says that فَلَا رَفَسَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جَدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ. When you are in Hajj, so there is no abuse, there is no quarrel, though there is no evil talk during Hajj travel. Now you may compare that as far as the Satan is concerned, you are stoning those Satans. It means that you are saying that Satan is my enemy. I will fight Satan. But as far as the mankind is concerned, here you recall the God's injunctions that live with people, with peace, with tolerance, without quarrel, without abusing. Here is a comparison. Satan, man and Satan. So Hajj gives you two different kind of lesson. That you are living between two kind of creature, man and Satan, in this world. This world is a testing ground. So in this world, you are living between two type of creatures, man and Satan. Although Satan is not observable, but it is there. Satan is every time with us. And then every time we are with men and women. So in this world, we live between two creatures, Satan and man. Quran says that when you are with people, with men and women, you have to adopt the culture of peace, culture of tolerance, culture of love, culture of compassion. But as far as the Satan is concerned, you have to treat Satan as your enemy. So at one side, you are stoning the Satans. And at the second, on the other side, you are showing your compassion towards men and women. This is the greatest lesson given in the Hajj. Greatest lesson. Hajj reminds you that you are living between two creatures, Satan and man. And your behavior towards Satan is to fight and give him defeat. You have to throw a stone. That is, you have to declare that I am not going to follow your follow Satan. But as far as the man and women is concerned, as far as people are concerned, you have to feel sentiment of love in your heart and tolerance and compassion and peace. So the two different treatment, two different dealing. One pertains to Satan and the second pertains to mankind. Then you make sacrifice of animal. What is this sacrifice? It is also a symbolic act. By sacrificing animals, you are taking a pledge that you will dedicate your life in the way of God. You will do dawa work. You will dedicate your life for the sake of God. And you will take it as a mission at any cost, even at the cost of sacrifice. By sacrificing animal, you say, Allahumma minka wa laka. It means that I will sacrifice my life for the sake of God. So apparently you are sacrificing an animal, but in your spirit you are presenting yourself, you are sacrificing yourself. You are giving a pledge that I will sacrifice my life in the way of God. So this is the meaning of Hajj. During all these rituals, you say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, O God, I am here. Then all the Haji gather in the field of Arafat. Arafat is a vast place. So all the people, all the Haji gather at this place. Thus all are saying, all are reciting this verse, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Allah labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Oh God, I am here. Oh God, I am here. It means that everyone is declaring. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik is not simply a lip service. No. It is not a ritual. No. It is a reality. It is presenting yourself for the sake of God. When you say, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, you are declaring that, O God, I am here for your cause, for the cause of God. I will sacrifice my I will sacrifice my life in the cause of God. So labbaik Allahumma labbaik is not simply a lip service. It is more than that. It is a symbol of dedication. It is a symbol of determination. It is a symbol of pillage. So it is very important. When you are in Arafat, you remember the Hajjatul Wada. When you are in Arafat, you recall that history of the Prophet of Islam. You know, Prophet of Islam, in his later days, performed Hajj with all his companions. At that time, his companions were 1,40,000. 1,40,000. Now, the number of Haji is more than 30,000. This year, the number of Haji was more than 30,000. So, when you are in Arafat, in Maidan Arafat, you remember the Hajjatul Wada, when Prophet of Islam was here. After performing Hajj, he addressed those people who were present at that time. He said, "La fazla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin wa la li aswada ala ahmara." He said that no one is superior and no one is inferior. All are equal. All are equal. Irrespective of color and race and wealth, all every human being is equal. So he declared first time in the history that all are equal. There's no difference between white and black, and rich and poor, or all the differences are simply to recognize, for recognition. So this was the declaration of equality. Then the Prophet of Islam said, addressing to his companions, "Ayyuhan nas, inna allaha basani kafatan linnas waddu anni." O people, God has sent me for all mankind. I am prophet to all mankind. So convey my message to all the nations everywhere in the world. This was Prophet's last message. This was Prophet's last message. So what happened? After performing Hajj, the majority of the companions went out of Arabia. The majority of the companions, they took this as a mission, that we are messenger of God. We have to convey the Prophet's message to all mankind. So they went out of Arabia, and in all countries, they settled in the adjacent countries and began their dawah. Now you know it was not a very easy task. There was no sources, there was no roads, there were no cars and aeroplanes. It was very difficult to travel. So many difficulties for strangers. Then I think the most difficult part of this mission was that these companions were speaking Arabic language, and the language of those people who were audience were different. So there was a language gap. You know, in Syria, people were speaking the language of Syriac. In Palestine, their language was Hebrew. In Egypt, their language was Coptic. In Libya, their language was Berber. So all those people were speaking different languages, not Arabic. At present, these people speak Arabic language in every country. But at that time, they were speaking some different languages. So it was very difficult to address these people. A Persian poet rightly said that Zubane yare man turki wa man turki namidan. The language of my friend is Turkish. I don't know Turkish. The same situation was there. That the language of companions was Arabic, and the language of their audience was different. So it was very, very difficult to address these people. So there was difficulty in term of travel, difficulty in term of stay, difficulty in term of earning, difficulty in term of food, difficulty in term of everything was difficult. And the greatest difficulty was that there was a language gap between companions and the other people. But by the grace of God, they overcome all these difficulties. They engage themselves in the work. We cannot imagine how they perform the work in such a situation. Perhaps it's not understandable. Our history books have no details of these things. But you can imagine that there were enormous difficulties. But these people, the companions of the prophet have dedicated themselves in this task. They were dedicated people. They were ready to do this task at any cost. So they were successful to Islamize the whole Arab world within a very short period. Then there is a verse in the chapter Al-Hajj about Haji. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ So that they may witness the benefits for them. What is that benefit? What is that manafi? This verse you can see in chapter Al-Hajj of the Quran. Quran uses word manafi, liyashhadu manafi alahum, so that Haji may witness the manafi, the benefits. What are those manafi? What are those benefits? I think this is historical monument, historical references. In Mecca and in Medina and in this area, there are numerous historical references that recall, that remember you, the prophetic history, the history of Dawah, history of Taqwa, history of sacrifice, history of dedication, history of Islamic movement. History of Islamic movement. History of Dawah movement. So everywhere in this area, you can find some historical monument, some historical references that remember you. Some very unique type of historical events that gives you inspiration, that gives you divine inspiration. So it is very, very unique. You cannot find this kind of divine inspiration in any other part of the world. Because these inscriptions are linked with historical monument, with historical references, and this kind of history is preserved here in this area. For example, when you see Mecca, when you see Kaaba, the oldest mosque that is called Baitullah, House of God. So when you see Kaaba, you remember that when Prophet of Islam started his mission in the first quarter of 7th century, at that time Kaaba was At that time, there were 360 idols in Kaaba. At that time, there were 360 idols in Kaaba. So this reference gives you a high kind of inspiration, because you recall that Prophet never touched these idols, but he avoided. He adopted a very unique kind of policy. Prophet of Islam was Prophet of Tawheed. His mission was mission of Tawheed. His message was message of Tawheed. So the presence of those idols were quite against his message. But he never touched those idols. Every day he used to visit Kaaba and perform his salat, although there were idols, without any with peace. Every day he used to visit Kaaba and perform his salat with complete peace. No anger, no negative thought. Then he used to preach those peoples who were present at that place. These people were mushrik. So he used to say, "O people, ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." Here you can see what was the prophetic policy in such a situation. He avoided the presence of idols so that he may perform his salat peacefully, so that he may perform his preaching peacefully. This was the prophetic policy. So when you are in Kaaba, you remember all these things. Here you learn what is the right way of doing dawah work. What is the right way of doing dawah work? There are so many other historical references. For example, Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is a place. When you are in Hudaybiyah, you remember the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Hudaybiyah agreement. In this agreement, Prophet accepted all those conditions presented by the other party. Only for one reason, to establish peace. So peace was most important thing for Prophet of Islam. He gave all the prices, even he erased the word Rasulullah from the paper. So he gave all the prices they wanted, so that there may be peace. So by giving all those prices, he was able to establish peace. And that peace gave him opportunities, gave him... When there was peace, Prabhupada was able to avail all those opportunities. When there was peace, Prabhupada was able to avail all those opportunities in terms of dava. So this was the prophetic policy. So Hajj is not simply a ritual, ritualistic worship. Hajj is a message. Hajj means internationalization of dawa work. Hajj is a kind of internationalization of dawa work, international mobility for dawa work. We have to perform Hajj with this spirit. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum ajma'in.